ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम् Canto 1, Chapter 19, Text 16, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Punascha Bhuyad Bhagavatyanante Ratif Prasangascha Tadashrayeshu Mahatsu yang yang upayami srishtim. Maitryastu sarvatra namo dvijyebhyaha. Punascha bhuyad bhagavatyanante. Ratif prasangascha tadashrayeshu Mahatsu yang yang upayami srishtim Maitryastu sarvatra namo dvijebhyaha. Translation. Again, offering obeisances. This is Maharaj Parikshit speaking. Before he started to hear the Bhagavatam from Srila Shukadeva Goswami. So he's speaking to the brahmanas who are present. You may remember that when Maharaj Parikshit took his vow to fast until death on the bank of the Ganges or Yamuna, that many rishis and other great persons from all over the universe came. So he's addressing them. Again offering obeisances unto all you brahmanas. I pray that if I should again take my birth in the material world, I will have complete attachment to the unlimited Lord Krishna, association with his devotees, and friendly relations with all living beings. Purport. That a devotee of the Lord is the only perfect living being is explained herein by Maharaj Parikshit. A devotee of the Lord is no one's enemy, although there may be many enemies of a devotee. A devotee of the Lord does not like to associate with non-devotees, although he has no enmity with them. He desires association with the devotees of the Lord. This is perfectly natural because birds of the same feather mix together. Have you heard that saying? English saying? Birds of a feather flock together. It's an English saying. So you can understand what it means? That the peacocks, they like to be with other peacocks. The crows like to be with other crows. What other kinds of birds do you get here? You get some waterfowl, the birds that go on the water. They like to be together. They're not all mixed up. So birds of the same feather flock together. So that's used in relationship to humans also. Devotees like to mix with devotees. That's the point being made here. Drunkards like to mix with drunkards. Thieves and rogues like to mix with each other. So birds of a feather flock together. And, continuing the purport, and the most important function of a devotee is... What's the answer? Could be many answers given, but the essence of it all, Srila Prabhupada writes, the most important function of a devotee is, listen carefully, to have complete attachment to Lord Sri Krishna. That's it, isn't it? That's the central point of being a pure devotee. To Lord Sri Krishna, the Father of all living beings. As a good son of the Father behaves in a friendly way with all his other brothers, so also the devotee of the Lord, being a good son of the Supreme Father, Lord Krishna, sees all other living beings in relation with the Supreme Father. He tries to bring back the upstart sons of the Father to a saner stage and to get them to accept the Supreme Fatherhood of God. Maharaja Parikshit was certainly going back to Godhead, but even if he were not to go back, he prayed for a pattern of life which is the most perfect way in the material world. A pure devotee does not desire the company of a personality as great as Brahma, but he prefers the association of a petty living being, provided he is a devotee of the Lord. So I'm continuing, as from over the last few days, reading verses from Srimad Bhagavatam, and will be from other, and from other sources also, about devotees' prayers or desires for their next birth. Generally, it's considered that devotees don't have a next birth, as Srila Prabhupada points out in the purport here about Srila Parikshit Maharaj. That again and again in Gita, Krishna says that the devotees come to me. Janma karma chame devyame vangyo veti tatvataha tyaktva dehang punar janma naiti mam eti sorjuna. Krishna says, one who knows the divine nature of, one who knows in truth the divine nature of my appearance and activities does not again take birth in the world, this world, but comes to me, O Arjuna. He says that, and he says, manmana bhavamad bhakto madhyaji mang namaskaru mayam mamai vaishashi yuktvaivam matmanang matparayana. He says that one or he orders to always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, bow down to me. Then being completely linked with me, you will certainly come to me. So devotees, they go to Krishna. But because of their humility and thinking they're not a devotee, they think, well, I'm not fit to go to Krishna. So I may have to be born again and again. So their prayers, there are many prayers in Bhagavatam and elsewhere of devotees who speak what they would, if they have to be born again, what situation they pray to the Lord for. So if I have to be born again, Parikshit says, may have complete attachment to the unlimited Lord Krishna. This is the essence of being a devotee, complete attachment to Krishna. Now we may say that demons like Kamsa, they also had attachment to Krishna because they were thinking of him all the time. But that's not really attachment. In one sense it is, but it's the underlying it is the personal desire that I want to kill Krishna so I can have my sense gratification. So that's not really attachment in the proper sense of the term. Proper attachment is ahaituki, without any personal cause or desire. Only for... Why do we serve Krishna? A pure devotee for him, there's no real... Of course, in Shastra there are so many reasons. The basic reason is that it's our constitutional position to serve Krishna. Jivesurupoi Krishna Nitya Das. But for a pure devotee, he doesn't think, I'm constitutionally servant of Krishna. Okay, let me serve him. He just automatically, his loving attachment is to Krishna. As I read in a book written by an American woman who had come to an Indian village, and she would ask so many questions of the women. She was a sociologist or something like that. It's a kind of weird things that people in America do. They become a sociologist and go off to the other side of the world and ask people different questions and then write a report and get a PhD and then teach people. And they've invented so many different ways of wasting their life. So she asked different women, do you love your husband? And most of them, she was surprised. Now, most of them never even thought of the question. They never thought, do I love my husband? It's just like, I suppose it's, that concept isn't there so much. It's in Indian culture. It's not based on love, based on one's own sense gratification. I tried to explain this recently in America in a college program, and I got such a response that it's like if I told them, okay, now in the Hare Krishna movement, we believe all you students should be tied up and shot dead. I might have got even a better response. The idea that wife and the husband, the wife is a subordinate. That was the real thing. And I said, the wife is subordinate to the husband. Whew. I'm still alive to tell the story. But anyway, this they think about it and they say, yes. And then why? And the answer is, well, because he's my husband. And she thought that was the most stupid answer possible. But when there's actual attachment, then you don't think about it. Well, I love my husband, this, and that. It's just there. It's just a fact. You're living it. It's just, why do you breathe air? Well, I breathe air because there's lots of oxygen in. When I breathe it in, it reacts with my system and gives energy. And if I don't, you don't think about it. You just do it. So, pure devotees of Krishna, they're attached to Krishna automatically. That's the real meaning of ahaituki. Ahaituki means without any personal motive, and it also means just, it's so natural to one that you don't even think why. Of course, at the philosophical level, one should think why. In this material world, we should think why. And in the spiritual world, we may also praise Krishna, that you are the greatest, we like to serve you, but at the highest level, in Vrindavan, that thought is gone. Not a stage to be jumped into prematurely. So, Parikshit prays for complete attachment to the unlimited Lord Krishna, association with his devotees. We'll find this is prayed for again and again. Vritrasura, we read yesterday about Vritrasura, he prayed for that. And friendly relations with all living beings. Now, Parikshit Maharaj, he was about to leave the world because the scenario that led up to that was that he was cursed by Sringi, who was the son of Shamika Rishi, because Parikshit, being impelled by the external energy of the Lord, acting on... Of course, the external energy doesn't act on the superior pure devotees, but just for creating a situation in which the Srimad Bhagavatam could be spoken, he had apparently insulted Shamika Rishi. Swagatam, swagatam. Please come. Suswagatam. Please decorate these plastic chairs with your august presence. So he had apparently acted in an unfriendly way toward Shamika Rishi. And Sringi was so unhappy about this that he cursed Parikshit that you will die in 7 days from the bite of a snake bird. Takshak. Takshak. Takshak also means, don't say, carpenter. It's another meaning of the word takshak. Bengali tokok, or cart mystery, more commonly. So he was to die at the birth, from the bite, not of a carpenter, but from the snake bird. So that means the snake bird was also not going to be very friendly toward him. And Parikshit, he was also not very friendly, apparently, toward the personality of Kali. So he's praying for friendly relations with all living beings, which in this world it's very difficult to be friendly to someone. Sometimes you have to be nasty, as in the case of Parikshit with Kali. How can you be friendly? Actually, you don't want to be friendly with such a person on his terms. To be friendly with such a person on his terms means you also become wicked. So to ask for friendly relations with all living beings, it seems almost more difficult, especially in this Kali Yuga, than to have pure devotion to Krishna. Because you can be a pure devotee of Krishna, but still people will oppose you. So Srila Prabhupada in the purport describes that at least a devotee, he doesn't perceive of others. He doesn't think of others with an inimical spirit. Others may be inimical to him, but he doesn't cultivate such a spirit. His spirit is Advaishta Sarvabhutanam. Maitra Karuna Evacha. This is the first in of the qualities which Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita describes of his, of course, elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita, Maichananya, what is it? Maichananya Yogena Bhakti. Bhakti avyabhicharini. So elsewhere he states this most important quality. Avyabhicharini bhakti. Means doesn't go this way or that way, just fix, still. But in this list of qualities, mayananya yogena bhakti yogena bhakti avyabhicharini. So elsewhere he states that, but in that Bhagavad Gita list at the end of the 12th chapter, which is generally called Bhakti Yoga, he states to Advaishta Sarva Bhutanam, to have no bad feeling towards anyone, and Maitra, feeling of friendliness, and Karuna, compassion to all. So Parikshit Maharaj is praying for this, that if I have to be born again in this world, I will have complete attachment to Krishna, to his devotee, association with his devotees, and friendly relations with all living beings. It's very difficult because this is the world of Ichha Dvesha Samuthena Dvandvamohena Bharata Sarva Bhutani Sammoham Sarge Yanti Parantapa. This is the world of material desire and bad feeling and duality, thinking in terms of aham mama, I and mine, means also you and yours. So this division, instead of seeing Krishna, he is Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, he's the proprietor of everything, and he's the friend of everyone. So instead of thinking that we're all here to cooperate to serve Krishna, you think, this is mine, that's yours, boom, now it's mine. What is it? My brain is... I will conquer others, and I've got so much and I'll get more. So this feeling in this material world gives rise to bad feeling, and it's particularly prominent in Kali Yuga, although it wasn't wholly absent at any time in the history. When we say history, we don't mean this history like they'll teach you in the school. History, Purana. Puranasha means the history of the universe. So it goes back to the Srishti, the creation of Brahma, and before that, even before the creation. So we find even at the very beginning, when Brahma, even before the creation, what happens if you get too much of this wax in your ear? What happens? Well, what happened with Brahma? Two demons called Madhu and Kaitava. They came out of his dirty earwax, so we're told, and they attacked him. So even before the creation, this material existence is full of bad feeling. But devotees, they are cultivating good feeling towards others. But that good feeling is clearly on the basis of relationship with Krishna. To try to have good feeling towards others, without that, it won't work. Just like, for instance, there was one gentleman, or not so very gentle, by the name of Adolf Hitler, who wanted to promote good feelings for all the German people. But as a result, the other people, such as the Jewish people, the Slavic people,
gypsies.
The gypsies, Romani,
the clergy. Christian.
Yeah, well, I was talking particularly in terms, and the homosexuals, and, yeah. and the mentally retarded, I mean, the list, but I'm just talking racially here.
Right.
Yeah, particularly the...
Eugenics, it's called.
Yeah,
eugenics.
Social Darwinism.
Well, social engineering.
Yeah, yeah, different names. But that was going on in America also. Everyone believed in it until 1940 or something. So his idea, we'll be friendly with the Germans, but then you're unfriendly with the non-Germans. He wanted to be friendly with the British because he thought they're the same kind of people.
But they were descended from Germany.
Yeah, but it's all... So that's the idea. And there was, I was just reading recently, there's a book by, who is that? Who wrote that book? Utopia? Was it H.G. Wells? And in Utopia, he had this idea also that the yellow man, the brown man, the black man, they'll all be all killed.
Oh.
Because in Utopia, there's
like the culling of elephants in
right, Zimbabwe. There's only white men.
Kill them all.
There's only white men. Kill them all and make a new ecological problem in the name of solving one problem. So friendship with all living beings in this material world, I love you means I hate someone else. I love this beautiful girl, therefore I hate the other person who's trying to seduce her. Yeah, but I just said just before you came that in Indian culture, marriage comes first and then love. So this kind of, or in fact, they don't even talk about love. That it's. I was just saying, one anthropologist from America, one woman, she came and asked women in a UP village questions like, "Do you love your husband?" And they're mostly confused by the question. Friendship with all living beings, but on the basis that the center is Krishna. Srila Prabhupada gave the example, if you throw stones into a still pond in the same point, then you'll get concentric circles. If you throw them in all different places, then all the water will just overlap and it'll be disturbed water. So the center should be made Krishna. Once someone said to Srila Prabhupada, "I love you." This was some kind of, the people, "I love you." I love. Very cheaply they say, as if it's such a... Love means you're prepared to give your life. That's love. "I love you." And Prabhupada said, "Yes, I love you also, but not this skin love." Prabhupada qualified it. So I'll go on to another verse. I've been going through Bhagavatam and other verses which talk about devotees praying what they would like to be if they're born again in the material world. What is their prayers for the future, their future aspirations? Because they should go to Krishna, as stated in the Gita several times by Krishna, that those who are my devotees, they come to me. But in their humility, they think, "I'm not qualified." And so they... And eventually we'll get through to the Shikshashtaka verse. But first of all, I'm going through some Bhagavatam verses. So this is from Canto 4 of the Bhagavatam, chapter 30, text 33, spoken by the Prachetas. Yavat te mayaya sprishta brahmama iha karma bhihi tavat bhavat prasanganam sangasya no bhave bhave. Bhave bhave. Have you heard this term? It means getting born again and again.
Bhava is the material world.
Yeah. Getting actually, that just reminds me at the end of the Bhagavatam, this comes also.
Nam sankirtanam yasya sarva papa pranam udukshama nastam namah.
The verse before that, the penultimate verse, says bhave bhave. I'll just write that, which I don't remember just now, but I do remember it says that. Very beautiful verses.
Nobody has you don't have a...
Yeah, but I'll make a note, and then in the next few days, I'm going...
If there's one, Gita Press has just the shlokas.
We have it all here. When I forget my verses, which is all the time,
right.
I just give one word, and this is the device...
Bhave, bhave, yatha bhakti.
Ah.
Bhave, bhave, yatha
yatha bhakti padayo sarva jayate tatha guru shojivesha natapanno yatha prabhu.
Yeah, I'll get through to that. I just made a note. So this is the latest device for spoiling people's intelligence. Instead of remembering, you just look it up.
Your eyes
also.
Yeah. And your chitta also. Anyway, the prachetas pray. Dear Lord, as long as we have to remain within this material world due to our material contamination and wander from one type of body to another and from one planet to another, we pray that we may associate with those who are engaged in discussing your pastimes. We pray for this benediction life after life in different bodily forms and on different planets. So that's Srila Prabhupada's, we could say, bhavart. It's not directly stated, I don't think, in this, in different bodily forms and different planets, but it's expanded from the, it's understood. As all the commentators and translators, they all do that. Sometimes people they say, well, Prabhupada, his translations, they're not exactly, but no one does it exactly. But they all bring out, every commentator, they bring out the meaning. That's the Shastric tradition. So it sounds almost contradictory, because the prachetas, they say that we like to associate in future births because we're materially contaminated. Actually, they're pure souls. But they pray that because we're materially contaminated, we must get born again and again. But we pray that we'll associate with those who are discussing your pastimes. But if you associate with people who are discussing Krishna's pastimes, then you go to Krishna. Because janma karma chame devyame vangyo veti tatvataha tyaktva dehang punara janma naiti mameti sojuna. You don't get born. If we understand Krishna, he's the transcendental nature of his activity, birth and activities, we don't get born again. So it sounds almost contradictory, but it's on the one hand, they're expressing their pure devotion in as much as they say, we're not qualified. On the other hand, another symptom of their pure devotion is that they only want to associate with pure devotees. So it's a paradox in the nature of pure devotion that the greatest devotee thinks himself to be very fallen. That's Sarvottam apanake mane trinadham in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's stated. Who's the best of all, he thinks himself to be lower than the grass. So another verse, coming from the famous prayers of Lord Brahma in the 10th canto, chapter 14, after Lord Brahma had stolen Krishna's calves and cowherd boyfriends, and then he repented upon seeing. He was thinking that I'm the great Brahma, and I'm born from Narayana. Who else could I be born from, being such a great person? I'm the creator here in this world, so everyone's subordinate to me. Who else could I be born from but Narayana? And I thought, you know, I went to Narayana, I prayed to him to come, and he said he would come, and then he was born as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki, and he had four hands. And then he went to Vrindavan, you know, I wasn't watching, something must have happened in the meantime, because he's just running around like a cowherd boy. It's a very low-class kind of occupation, he doesn't even have any shoes on. And he'll eat the food. Others they'll be eating their food and with their left hand, because they were at their ban bhojan at the time when he kidnapped the calves. So they're sitting there eating with their left hand. One of them, oh, this tastes nice. Here, you try some. And this can't be God, is it? It's just too low class. So later on, he understood that, well, actually, Krishna is the source of all the Narayan forms. So he came and prayed and that chapter is known as the Brahma Stuti. So among those prayers he says, My dear Lord, I pray to be so fortunate that in this life as Lord Brahma, or in another life, wherever I may take my birth, I may be counted as one of your devotees. So that means he's praying he may even end up as one of those cowherd boys eating food with his left hand and giving it to Krishna, already eaten. I pray that wherever I may be, even among the animal species, I can engage in devotional service to your lotus feet. Then another prayer from that same Brahma Stuti. My greatest possible good fortune would be to take any birth whatever in this forest of Gokul. Anywhere. I'll take birth anywhere in Gokul. And have my head bathed by the dust falling from the lotus feet of any of its residents. Their entire life and soul is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mukunda, the dust of whose lotus feet is still being searched for in the Vedic mantras. In other words, the Vedic mantras, they may not directly praise Krishna's lotus feet. So, but Brahma has realized that is the ultimate goal of the Vedas. Then a similar prayer by Uddhava, who was the greatest, he was famous in Dwaraka as the greatest devotee of Krishna. He's the greatest devotee, he's very intimate with Krishna. And he was sent to Vrindavan to send a message to the Vrajavasis who are lamenting in separation from Krishna. And going there, Uddhava, he seeing the devotion of the Vrajavasis, he thought, well, I thought I was the greatest. I mean, everyone thinks I'm the greatest. I am the greatest. I don't know if he said that. But he realized that these devotees, their devotion is such that he spoke as follows. This is particularly after seeing the... this is from the chapter Brahmara Gita. Brahmara means bumblebee. In English we say bumblebee. Madhu Makshika. Is that the same as a Brahmara? It's one kind of Brahmara.
Brahmara Gita, little difference.
Little difference, yeah. And also, I don't know, I shall have to ask our Sanskrit scholar here. Brahmara also gives the idea of, this is my speculation here, that the mind of Radha, who is praying this, her mind is also confused. She's confused by prema. So, Uddhava says, Asamaho charana renu jusham mahang syam. Vrindavane, would you like to say?
Vrindavane kimopi.
Gulma lato shadhim ladhinam. Ya duschajang svajanang arya patang chahitva. Bhejur mukunda padaving shruti bhivimrigyam. This is for those who specialize in bhakti shastra. This is one of the important verses because it has a very important message and a very sweet message also. Uddhava says that the gopis of Vrindavan, this is Bhavanuvada, the gopis of Vrindavan have given up the association of their husbands. That means... Aryapatam Chahitva, having given up the path of respectable people, means they gave up the path and they gave up their husbands who are supposed to be Arya. In Vedic culture, the wife sometimes addresses the husband as Aryaputra. Arya, just like that. Yeah. So coming in a respectable family. So, they have given up the association of their husbands, sons, and other family members who are very difficult to give up, duschaja. And they have forsaken the path of chastity to take... For a woman, there's nothing lower than that. She can steal, she can lie, But if she gives up the path of chastity, this is according to Vedic culture or human culture, not according to Bollywood culture, which is actually Hollywood culture. It's actually imported from the West and given some Indian masala, but it's the same thing. It's like in the West they have fried chicken, and in India they have chicken tikki. They put some spices, but it's the same thing, more or less. They have the same degraded thing. They have forsaken the path of chastity to take shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda, Krishna, for which one should search for by Vedic knowledge. Actually, of course, that's the highest chastity, to be at the shelter of Krishna. Oh, Uddhava prays, let me be fortunate enough to become one of the bushes, creepers, or herbs in Vrindavan, because the gopis trample them and bless them with the dust of their lotus feet. So what would you like to be in the beginning of this series of talks, I spoke about one survey in which some people said they'd like to be in their next life a horse, a dog, a snake. And Uddhava prays, I would like to become some bush or grass. What would you like to be? I think I'd like to be a bush. But in Vrindavan, in the Vrindavan forest. Because at some point the gopis may come and then they'll put their feet on me. Because as Uddhava, they won't do that. They won't put their feet on his head. He wants that. But they won't do it. So the purport here. Sri Uddhava here shows the perfect Vaishnava attitude of humility. He does not pray to be equal to the gopis in their exalted stage of love, but rather to take birth as a bush or creeper in Vrindavan, so that when they walk upon him, he will get the dust of their feet and thus be blessed. The shy gopis would never agree to give such blessings to a great personality like Uddhava. Therefore, he cleverly sought to get such mercy by taking birth as a plant in Vrindavan. Echoing that spirit, Prabodhananda, in his Vrindavan Mahimamrita, states, I don't have the Sanskrit written, I pray that birth after birth I may be a clump of grass in the land of Vrindavan, which is worshipped even by the king of the demigods. That would be my joy. I pray that birth after birth I may be a clump of grass in the land of Janudvip, which is worshipped even by the king of the demigods. That would be my joy. That's in the Navadvip Shatakam. Vrindavan Mahimamrita and Navadvip Shatakam, they're all the same verses, except that in one it says, just a little word is changed in every verse. In Vrindavan Mahimamrita it says in Vrindavan, and in the Navadvip Shatakam it says Navadvip. So he's praying, birth after birth may I be a clump of grass. So that's one prayer. What would you like to be in your next birth? Grass. But where? In Vrindavan. So that's all I'll do. And tomorrow I'll read, Krishna willing, I'll read some verses from Mukunda Mala. He has several prayers in which the Kulasekhar Alva, in which he states that what he would like to be, he's praying for his next birth. So, Hare Krishna. Any comments, questions, observations, realizations?
You're not a Chaitanya Swami.
That's true.
Yeah, he used to ask for, Sridhar Swami, I'm sorry. He used to ask for his wisecracks and smart remarks in addition to what you
said. I see. I usually ask for questions, comments, and protests.
And protests. Sridhar Swami used to say wisecracks and smart remarks.
No, but it's also good to say, especially in a public lecture, if you say, because people, they can say, if you don't agree, you're welcome to give some Purva Paksha, and let's discuss it.
We're talking about that And I mean, we were talking about that on the way here.
Yeah, this Sarve Yuddhe Visharada.
Sarve
Yuddha Vishar.
Yuddha
Visharada.
No, that's yeah. It's not that they like to fight.
But they're expert in fighting.
Instead of encouraging preaching, they're discouraging preaching.
Don't we know?
Why are they doing that? It's very difficult to understand. Arathan Prabhu was saying it's a vested interest. You said vested interest. But there is, what do they lose? If they're in charge of an area and someone wants to preach there, what do they lose if someone is preaching in the Vishnupurna? It doesn't make any sense. Hmm. It's a senseless thing. And yet it's going on. Because we don't live in a perfect world. There's, sarvarambha hi doshena. Right? In every endeavor there's a fault. Isn't that in the Gita?
Yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah. Sarvarambha hi doshena. Don't give up your duty because there's a fault in every duty. Sarvarambha hi doshena.
So, the authorities in ISKCON are supposed to encourage preaching. But instead of encouraging preaching, with the control freak mentality,
that's what it
they're
is.
They're discouraging preaching. It does not make sense. And this has been going on for years. And what do you do? What is the solution? We should put our heads together to think of a solution. You know, one way is to make a mass protest, like, you know, a big petition, which you know is going on right now.
Mm.
We talked about it. You know, well,
I know something. I was there a week or so ago.
You thought that I wrote to you because you were there, but actually I didn't realize when I wrote to you
that I was there.
Then that's one way of doing it. But then there might be other ways, like meeting them and talking to them directly.
I'm not very hopeful. Not very hopeful of that.
But it's worth a try. At our meetings, the IIAC meeting, that's what I suggested. Mm. Let's sit in a room with several other senior devotees and try. Otherwise, you want to start a separate institution, Hare Krishna. That could be done. That's what Madhu Pandit has done.
Well, I was going to say that. They're all protégés. They were all trained by him originally.
Oh, many of them. Not everyone, but
anyway, Hare Krishna. That's
disgusting. We don't live in a perfect world. But it had to do with what you were saying. You wanted to comment that what you were saying was that, you know, there's friends and enemies in the world. And it's due to the delusion of duality.
Yeah.
When in a spiritual institution, in a spiritual institution, it's not supposed to be there.
Yeah. Yeah. But you can't legislate purity.
You can't
legislate. This Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, famously, his Putana essay.
His what?
His famous Putana essay.
Putana essay?
Yeah. You don't know that?
No.
He wrote that that most of the sadhus, they're actually like Putana. They come to serve, but they have another motive. They want to kill Krishna. Uh-huh. And he said that there's no... The actual love of Krishna, there's no...
Hare Krishna.
There's no system. There's no system that you can make to make an institution for giving love of God.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you institutionalize it, it's you... You can try to control it, and it's a spontaneous expression. But still, he invested so much energy into an institution himself.
Right. But at the end, he was unhappy.
At the end, he was unhappy.
He didn't want to live longer.
And Bhaktivinoda Thakur also. He did so much preaching, and at the end, he was also disappointed. Yeah, and there's actually something, I spoke about it many times, and then I recently saw there's a name for it. It's called Michel's syndrome or something like that. Someone called Michel said that in any organization, not particularly a spiritual one,
right,
but the people who are ambitious and unprincipled, they will take the power.
They will dominate.
And that's particularly true in a religious organization, because the people who actually want the essence, they're not interested in the power. So it's an impossible conundrum. You just have to make a new organization, and then someone else comes up.
Right?
It's impossible. It's catch 22 of the spiritual
order. You know, there's the cliche: power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. But my addition was, except if you're pure.
Yeah.
If
the seed of corruption is there, it will come out given the opportunity.
But the people who are spontaneously ambitious, they always take power.
Yeah.
And the sadhus, they don't take power.
But then Srila Prabhupada's program was everyone should engage in rise early, chant together, all these things, and the holy name will purify.
Yeah, but
create an atmosphere.
The holy name will purify.
The people at the top are bewildered. Now, for instance, if someone did something wrong, what should be done? So now the thing is, banish them, excommunicate them. Unless there's some sentimental attachment to that person. Now, right now, one sannyasi was excommunicated in Bombay. Should I mention his name? Murli Krishna Swami.
Oh, yeah. He was just made a sannyasi.
Pardon?
He was just made a sannyasi.
Yeah, he was just made. See, there could have been another punishment. Censure. Censure and punishment. But why excommunication? Why just throw him out? Because he doesn't have political connections.
Right.
Basically.
Oh, yeah. We know that. Yeah.
No, he did something wrong.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like with
an agreement, and he abrogated the agreement.
It's just like with Prithu and Suhodra Swami. They had some relatively minor mistake.
Well, they resigned.
But they were their disciples were told, you have to get reinitiation. You should go. But then there's another.
Well, I don't think it may work.
But there's someone else who is one of the first disciples of Prabhupada who had a much more serious fall down, and he's just going on as a sannyasi. Yes, and anyway, let's Hare Krishna. Let's. It's time for stopping now. Yeah, I always stop. No, I stop on time because they have their schedule and everything. I don't go beyond 9:05. 9 o'clock is the stopping time. Hare Krishna.